and baseball seems to be worlds apart in discussing what they want to do with this season. And as it often is, it does come down to financials. Meredith Morakovitz is with us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Meredith, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Dee?
I'm doing well. I should tell everybody that Meredith Morakovitz of the YES Network, I didn't realize it's been 8 years up there now.
This actually would have been my ninth season had COVID-19 stopped things. But yeah, it's crazy. I can't believe it some days either. It seems like I go to the ballpark and I feel like I haven't been there 9 years, but then dog days of July and August, you're like, okay, yeah, maybe I have been.
All right, let me ask you, and you've done a really good job during what I call shut-in still, of staying connected in your sport through Instagram Live and having interviews. And I know you do try to keep it lighthearted also, but do you have any feel just from all the people that you are connected with of, will there be a happy ending to baseball this year?
Look, I hope so. And I'm cautiously optimistic. Obviously, my livelihood and the livelihood of a lot of other people that aren't actually on the field really rely on baseball and need baseball to come back. So they're in an okay financial position. But just in speaking to members of both sides, they definitely have valid points on each side, but I do think at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, they are going to find a way to come to an agreement that they can both live with. I think it starts off with, first and foremost, the safety aspect of it. They're still trying to work things out on that end, on how they can bring it back, how they can do it safely, how much they can limit the capacity of people that need to be involved to be able to do that. From a broadcasting point of view, we still don't know, should baseball come back, what that's going to mean for us. How many people are going to be allowed in the ballpark? Are we going to have to cut down our cameras? Will people be traveling? I would think probably early on that won't be part of it. We probably will not be traveling. So it's going to be a whole new world for everyone. But I think when you look at it, it would just be so bad for baseball if they couldn't come to terms and couldn't find a way to work this out.
Absolutely. Meredith, you go to New York after being here in Philadelphia covering the Sixers, and you're covering the Yankees that we all say, oh, the big bad Yankees, they're always winners. But what is that like to be able to cover a team that has had so much tradition, so much winning, and you've had a lot of seasons of covering a lot of winning baseball?
While there was some winning baseball, unfortunately, since I've been there, they have not won the World Series.
Right.
They haven't since, as we know, 2009, when they beat the Phillies, and everybody in Philadelphia certainly remembers that well and would like to forget that. But they did go to the ALCS two times. They were very close to getting to the World Series. And there really is just a different vibe in covering the Yankees. Their fan base is global. It's not just regional. It's nationwide and it's global. And when I was in London for the London Series, I took a couple days before that to go to Paris. I ran into people in Paris that aren't even from New York, aren't even from the East Coast, that said, hey, are you the YES Network reporter? We watch the Yankees over here on MLB.com or MLB.tv, whatever it is. I was in Australia and people pulled me aside. It is just crazy. I don't think I realized when I took the job just how big the reach is. And then as far as historical moments, since I've been there, I watched Jeter's career come to an end. I watched Mariano Rivera's career come to an end in that moment that everyone will always remember of Derek Jeter and Andy Pettit going out to the mound and taking the ball from Mo. And Andy Pettit as well. He finished his career in Texas, a place where he spent some time, a place where he still lives, and wound up throwing 9 innings and told me afterwards, look, I can't even believe I just did that. So there are some moments like that that I certainly will never forget that I'm happy that I was able to be a part of.
Meredith, I think because I get asked a lot, like, who's your favorite person you ever interviewed? And if you do it for a living, you say to people, well, you do it a lot, so to pick a favorite is hard. But I do think that people who are good conversationalists or people who understand what a walk-off interview needs and has and brings some personality, do you have faves over time that have just made your job even more enjoyable?
Well, you know, there are so many different personalities. Some guys are a bit more outgoing than others. Austin Romine, who was the backup catcher for the past couple of years, he's no longer with the organization. He was always great to interview because he was incredibly insightful, obviously had the view from behind the plate, and he could just break down the entire game. He just had such great knowledge and a great way of expressing himself. He was always honest and was confident in his responses. Brett Gardner, another guy that falls into that category. But as far as favorite interviews, I would have to say Derek Jeter's final game at Yankee Stadium.
Oh,
I always stand in the the third base well there, waiting for whatever to happen. And David Robertson was the closer that year, and he was really having an unbelievable year. The Yankees were already knocked out of the playoffs, so it didn't really mean anything, the game, but it was packed to the gills for everyone to see Derek Jeter at the stadium one last time. And I remember watching Robertson blow the save, and you're thinking, no way, that didn't just happen. And then you look at your scorecard, and you realize, oh no, Derek Jeter is going to get up to bat again. This could happen. He could get another at bat. And when he hit that walk-off hit to right field, the place just absolutely erupted. It was like it was a World Series game, despite the fact that it was essentially a meaningless game in September. And I remember when I walked over to him to speak with him after he had, you know, shook hands with all his teammates and kind of saluted the crowd a little bit with his hat, went over to his position at shortstop, picked up a little bit of dirt. He was finally ready to do an interview. And as soon as he spoke one word, you could hear a pin drop at Yankee Stadium.
It got
so quiet. It was just an unbelievable feeling. You could just tell there was so much appreciation, so much love for Derek Jeter and the way he went about his business and played the game. I just remember how loud it was and how quickly, after I asked my first question and he started talking, you could hear everything at the stadium. It was wild. It was really wild.
Meredith, has baseball always been your first love in terms of sports?
It hasn't, actually. I played softball when I was younger, but I found it to be a little bit boring. So I was, you know.
Not fast enough for you.
Not fast enough. You know, kind of a little bit of ADD action for me as a child. So basketball. Basketball was always something that was a big part of my family life. My dad was a huge Sixers fan. My brothers were big basketball fans. They both played. I played in like 2-3 leagues of basketball growing up all the time. And then when I went to LaSalle University, I got a volleyball scholarship, but I always loved watching hoops. That's why getting the job with the Sixers really was a childhood dream come true, to be able to be on that floor and to be interviewing Sixers players. And I have to tell you, it was incredibly hard to leave and to make the decision to leave. But I knew that this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I had to take it.
All right, let me ask you, because I know it was before 2012. So who would have been on the Sixers that were your faves at that point?
Elton Brand was always a good interview. I'm trying to think of, it was so long ago.
Elton was always, Elton still is great.
Yeah, he was always good. I enjoyed talking to Andre Iguodala. I thought he was insightful, and I always felt like he never got the credit he really deserves in Philadelphia. And I was so happy to see him go to a new situation and have some success, because he certainly heard it from the fans often in Philadelphia. And those were the Doug Snyder years too. So he was unbelievable to talk to. You saw him as a commentator, and he really had that perspective as a coach as well. He was just so well-spoken. So he was great to work with. But looking back at that Sixers team, I didn't really have any issues with anybody. It was a pretty good locker room for the most part. But my job there and my job with Yeses was, you know, different in that there I basically did the walk-off interview after a win, and we didn't do much post-game. It was just the game broadcast. So I would do shoot-arounds and I would do pre-game stuff, but post-game I wasn't in there as much as I am with the Yes Network. I do all the post-game interviews for them in the clubhouse. So I feel like my rapport overall is probably better with the Yankees, just because I spend so much more time with them and talking to them and doing special features. And, you know, I'm ancient now. I've been there almost 9 years.
And the Phillies, if we ever get to see the Phillies, we'll get to see them managed by Joe Girardi.
How about it? It's turning into Yankees South there. So you have Girardi, you have Didi Gregorius, who's one of my favorites. The fans are absolutely going to love him. That was such a great deal for the Phillies, and he's going to excel in that ballpark in particular. So I think fans have something to look forward to there. And David Robertson, coming back from injury, I believe, is on that team too. But Joe certainly is one of the most prepared individuals that I have ever come across. There is not a situation he has not thought out before it happens. So you'll see him get to the ballpark really early. He'll have his papers all over his desk, and he'll be going through analytics stuff. He'll be going through lineups. He'll be going through everything. So I think Philadelphia will enjoy having him as the manager, certainly night and day from Gabe. So it's definitely going to be a different approach, but I think he'll do well there as well.
Mern, now, do you consider yourself, actually right now you're talking to us from Florida, correct?
Yes. Right. I guess I'm technically a Floridian.
A New Yorker, or the fact that you were, born in Pennsylvania, outside of the Philadelphia area. What do you consider your roots?
You know, I always feel like I'm at home when I'm in Philadelphia, to be honest with you. I went to school there, and then I spent a lot of years there post-college. And whenever I either take the train or I drive in and I see City Hall and I see the clock, I just get this feeling like, yes, this is still my home. Now, so much has changed since I've been there, but I still do try to get back a couple times a year. I still have a lot of dear friends that not only work in the industry, but, you know, live in Philadelphia. So I try to see them as often as possible. My schedule doesn't make it the easiest. I don't get back to my hometown of Walnutport very often at all, usually only for Christmas. So that doesn't necessarily feel as much like home anymore as it used to. And New York and Florida, I'm constantly back and forth. I do feel like I'm a part of that New York community. And I think everybody has a little bit of a love-hate with New York. When you're there, sometimes it's frustrating. But when you're anywhere else, you're like, it's not New York. I want to go back. It's not New York. So I am missing it right now. I do feel a little guilty that I'm not there with my neighbors, but I made the decision to hunker down in Florida for the foreseeable future. And hopefully I'm heading back up there soon, because I do believe that there will be baseball. And if there is, it'll likely be sometime in July.
Well, thank you for taking some time out of your Saturday and spend it with us here in Philadelphia, so to speak, on the Fanatic. And I hope there is baseball as well. Do you have anything coming up that we should look for? I love your Instagram Live stuff.
You know what? I'm not sure what I'm going to do this week. I took about a week or two hiatus. I do have something coming up with the Yogi Berra Museum, where I've done their virtual gala already because it got canceled due to the pandemic. And then I did another thing for Yogi's birthday, which was a lot of fun. We had former players call in.
Yes.
I have something coming up, which would have been his golf tournament, I believe, on the 8th of June. So not this week, but the next week. And I have a couple other projects that I think I'm working on. So nothing immediately, but I will keep posting stuff until we get going again.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.